Good morning, all. Our first passage today is Psalm 9, verses 1 to 10. This is a reflective psalm for our first part of the sermon. Please join me if you're in the building. It's on the service sheet on the first page. And for those at home, Psalm 9, verses 1 to 10. I will give you thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell you of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. My enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause, sitting enthroned as the righteous judge. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken my enemies. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the peoples with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Marie. Good morning, everyone. It is great to see you and Happy New Year. What a great joy to be together on this first day of the year. Welcome to all those people watching online as well. Friends, this morning we are going to work together to start our year well. In order to do that, in order to start 2023 well, we're going to do three things. We're going to reflect on the year that has gone. We're going to remember our foundations so we all know we're standing and rooted in the right place. And then we're going to work at restarting ourselves and our year so we can move forward with confidence that we are indeed listening to and seeking to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. So this morning is going to be an opportunity for us to interact. We're going to be moving around, talking to each other. We're going to be reflecting together. It's going to be really different to a normal church service. So just hold on to your seats and be ready. Everyone's going to be engaged. It's going to be excellent. Psalm 9. What a great psalm to begin reflecting together. Let me read the first two verses again. Follow along, and if you've got kids with you, then they can read along with you as well. Psalm 9 from verse 1 and 2. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. You can see it there, can't you? He is giving thanks to God for the things that God has done. Yes, he's looking back into the past, and in the first line, he's able to give thanks to God for all that God has done. In the second line, he says, I'm not just going to give thanks, but I'm going to tell, I'm going to speak out to others of the things that God has done, which you can't do without remembering and reflecting upon those things. In the third line, he says, I'm going to be glad and rejoice in who you are. And he can only know God from how God has revealed himself in the past. So again, he's looking back to all that God has done. And then he says, I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. He's going to rejoice out to everyone forever. Now, what I love about this psalm, and it's longer than just these 10 verses, is he's not just sort of looking back to all these great and marvelous things. He's deeply realistic. Now, I know that for some of you, 2022 has been an okay year. For the rest of you, 2022 has been a complete dud. I don't know anyone for whom 2022 has been like, yes, this has been the best year of my life. Is there someone here like that? It was a bit better than 21. It was even a bit better than 20, right? But I don't think we're back at 19 yet, are we? Everyone's going, no. He's realistic in the psalm. Look at the end of the verses here. He says, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. He knows that life has ups and downs. He He knows that there are moments of oppression and trouble, but that his God, our God, is trustworthy because he never forsakes us and he never lets us go. So those who know God can reflect on the year gone, despite its ups and downs, despite its hardships and gladnesses, despite the loss of loved ones and even the arrival of new friends and new family, because we see the faithfulness and the love of the Lord for us in all of it. And we see his sustaining grace. We see his mercy. We see his kindness. We see him using all of this to grow us to be more and more like Jesus every day. So what I want us to do now is to reflect on what God has done in you and through you and around you in 2022. If you've come with children, then here's a moment to turn with them and to reflect together. You can chat. If you came with someone else, feel free to turn and chat to them and sort of say, you know, what are some of the wonderful things that God did in us and in me and through me this year? It's not necessarily that everything's been great, but even in the hardships and sorrows, there is much that God does to sustain us and to show us his love. So I want you to reflect yourself, reflect with others. And in a couple of minutes' time, Elliot and I are going to run around. We'd love to hear from you some of the ways that you saw God at work in you and around you in the year just gone. Everyone understand what you're doing? Great. Okay, so turn, think, reflect, and then we're going to hear some of those reflections in just a moment. Reflect on what God has done in you, through you, around you, and among you in the year just gone. And if you're with us online, my mobile phone number is going to come up on the screen, I think. I'd love for you to text me and share your thoughts, and I'll read some of those out. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I've got no doubt that there are things that you've been able to reflect on and observe and share with others about what God has done in you and through you and around you and amongst us in the year just gone. And Elliot and I would love to hear some of those. So who is going to be game first to share something with us? We're after six people. Yes. All right, here we go. Number one.
3 weeks ago, we heard a sermon.
That is awesome. God's word doing its work. Unreal. Excellent.
Fantastic. All right, someone else. We're after five more. We will wait. This is like Billy Graham. Okay, over here. Someone else?
What popped into my mind was back in August, I was hospitalised with a liver injury that looked like it was going to shorten my life and I might need a liver transplant and things were going to be quite dire. But even though family members around me, not looking at anybody in the room, might have been very stressed, I felt really upheld by God. And if my life was going to be significantly shortened and my days were going to be much fewer than one might expect, I was okay with that. And I just knew God's goodness and that was enough. So I thank God for him.
Awesome. All right. Someone else? We're after four more. Oh, thank you. Richard?
It's just in the day-to-day. You know, what we bring to the table is our sin and our fallenness, and the Lord brings his grace that is all-surpassing. You know, what did we have that we did not receive? So it's in our life, our health, our well-being, everything. There's nothing that the Lord doesn't provide and has cared for us during this year.
Awesome. Good one. All right, three more. Someone from over here. Oh, at the back, coming. All right, over on that side, someone put their hand up. Elliot, walk over to you. Here we go.
Just a short one. Stephen and I moved my mum down from Tweed Heads down to Sydney into aged care this year, and God has taught me to have a lot of patience and resilience this year.
That's awesome. Good on you. Well done. All right, two more. Am I counting right? Two? I can't remember. Two more, let's go. Steve and Mike, excellent.
Hi, this year seems to me been filled with sad things happening, so and bad news. So, you know, the world situation with geopolitics and those sorts of things, the Queen passing away, and also within our church networks, there's been challenges and difficulties. But that has, I've found has caused me to turn to God more and pray and talk to Him and unburden those things to Him. So that's something that I've found has been a blessing.
There is such great truthful comfort in praying to the Lord who knows everything, loves everyone, handles everything, and is our refuge. Just reflect on that for a moment. How amazing that even in the good and the bad, you have someone who is on your team and will never let you go and is ready to listen. Wow. How amazing is it to be Christian? All right. Who's going to be? Russ? No?
Something quite unexpected. My older brother was giving the speech at his son's wedding, and when he sat down, he had a heart attack and sort of was ultimately brought back, and that was good. But it kind of put a bit of a kibosh on the wedding, given the entrees had just been served. But anyway, the really good news after many, many weeks and he got out of hospital is that he started going to the local evangelical Anglican church in the country, and he's now starting to interact with the minister and sit down and talk through his faith. So there's been some really good conversations about that. So we prayed for him repeatedly in our growth group and obviously personally, and just continue to pray that he is in a trusting relationship with the Lord.
Unreal. Thanks, Ross. It's amazing, isn't it? The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, just like that, where you can lay everything that you have before the Lord and He listens and He is with you. It's incredible, isn't it? As you just reflect, I'm sure there are many other things that those who weren't courageous enough to put their hand up were able to share. And I hope that you're able to continue to do that throughout today and even in the weeks ahead. So this morning, first thing I want you to do is reflect on this. If you want to do 2023 well, continue to look back. Look back, as the psalmists do, as the scriptures tend to continually, look back to God's faithfulness to you. His faithfulness to you in the year just gone, but His grander faithfulness to you in what He has done in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to come to that next, but first, perhaps in reflecting, you have realized that there is some business that you need to do with God. In fact, as we reflect upon our lives, sometimes we see our faithlessness and God's faithfulness. Sometimes we see that we have not been the people we want to be and certainly not the one who God wants us to be.
The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. And as I read this, listen for the word remember and ask, what are we to remember? Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
All right, there are lots of things we remember. Some of them are important and foundational and life-shaping, and some of them are just completely random and weird. So take, for example, this. Just the other day, I remembered the number plate of my mum's first car. MLP899. It's the car I learned to drive on. Who knows why that is in there still? Like, there are so many other more important things that end up, like, being out of my brain, but I remember a number plate. That's just weird. I want you right now to share with someone around you your earliest memory. Your earliest memory. I had someone say to me just before the service started that one of their children reckons that they remember the renovation going on in their bedroom when they were 6 months old. That's wild, right? And anyway, you can take that up with a neuroscientist. But share, you can see on the sheet, your earliest memory and your most important memory to you. And if you're watching online, maybe share that with someone you're with, or feel free to text in and share that with me again. But share with someone your earliest memory and what you think is your most important memory. Go. I'll give you a minute to do that with people sitting around you. Go. Okay. Whose earliest memory, when you're thinking about earliest memories, this will be difficult if you are five or under, but whose earliest memory is from when you are five or under? Hands up. Hand up for five or under. Keep your hands up. Hand up for four or under. Three or under. Put your hand down when you're excluded. Two or under. Earliest memory, two or under. Oh, wow, I've got a few. One or under? Okay. Memory is so strange, isn't it? I'm now in my very, very, very late 30s. I'm finding my memory less and less reliable all the time. A diary is really important. Names come a bit slower to me now. Alarms on my phone are increasingly useful. I'm sure yesterday when we were swimming at the beach, Nikki said something to me like, "Will you help me remember that?" And I went, "Yes." I don't think I helped her remember whatever it was. I can't even remember that. It's not got to the point where I sort of wake up in the morning and look down at my left hand and go, "Ah! Why is there a wedding ring there?" No, I still remember I'm married. It's okay. But I'm easily distracted. I'm easily distracted from remembering what's most important by the shiny and the new and the immediate and the urgent. Particularly the immediate and the urgent. When things press in upon you, it's almost like sometimes everything else goes out the window. Sometimes I just need to slow down and remember. Remember what's most important. Remember what is most foundational. Remember what is most life-shaping. Remember what is critical to my existence, critical to my identity, critical to my future. And I wonder if sometimes that describes you as well. That sometimes we need to slow down and remember the basics of who we are and whose we are. Now, you know, this is no modern problem. It's interesting as you read the scriptures how often Paul says, remember this, remember this, remember this. He writes letters to these birds, these sort of, you know, burgeoning churches, new churches, saying to them, remember the things that I've said. I only said that 17 minutes ago, but please, remember these things. Remember these foundational, obvious things for Christians. And here in this passage, Paul says again, I want you to remember. So this morning, remember this. If you want to do 2023 well, remember who you are and whose you are. Remember who you are and whose you are. Here are some simple, foundational, obvious things we must continually call to mind. Starting at verse 11, and if you're here with mum or dad, you're one of the kids, you're going to get the kids to do an exercise in a moment. This is a comprehension exercise. Just your teacher will thank me in about 4 weeks' time. So if you're here as a child, I want you to look on with the reading now. And the question that I want you to answer for me in a moment is, what were we? Okay, you listen carefully, look at the text. What were we? And there are six answers that are all correct. And I'm going to ask for some of the kids to call out for me the six answers. Let me read from verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, you were excluded from citizenship in Israel, you were foreigners to the covenants of the promise, you were without hope and without God in the world. They are all the things you were. There are six. Who can tell me one of the six things we were? Any of the kids? Let's go. Hand up, someone. What is something that we were? Yes, go. Nice loud voice.
Without God in the world.
Without God in the world. Excellent answer. Yes, next one.
Foreigners.
Yes, foreigners away from the promises of God. Yes, what else? Yes. Separate from Christ. Excellent. That's three. There are three more. Who's got another one? All right, I'm going to tell you. Oh, what was it?
Without hope.
Without hope, yes. Thank you, Michelle. You are suddenly in your very, very, very late teens. Friends, here are the things we were. We were separated from God. We were not citizens. We were excluded from citizenship. We were foreigners to the promises. We were without hope. We were without God, and we were far away from Him, a long way away. Now, at the start of verse 13 are, I think, the two most glorious words in the whole Bible. Can you read for me the first two words in verse 13? After three. One, two, three. Aren't they the most glorious words? You think about what you were, and now think about what you are now. And what does he say? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But now, in Christ's death, God has rescued you from the clutches of sin. But now, in Christ's death, God has rescued you from the clutches of death. Christmas is a time when we've had relatives visit often from faraway places. But God has brought you back from further away than even your most furthest visiting relatives have come. God has taken your heart. He has given you citizenship. He has given you a desire and made you His through Christ. And it is heaven now that pulls us towards Him, because now we have been rescued and are seated, earlier in this chapter tells us, in the heavenly realms. So I want you to say the words "but now" with me when I point to you. Are you ready? Here we go. Okay, that was a test. So, right, here we go. Friends, once we were dead in sin, God saved us and He made us alive in Christ. Once we were captive to death, God saved us and set us free. Once we were children deserving of wrath, God saved us. And in His mercy, He has shown His kindness toward us, for He is a God of great wonders, and He makes the dead alive, He sets the captive free, and He has poured the riches of His grace onto your life. So never forget this, the foundational principle of all things for a Christian person. You were lost to God, without hope and without God in the world. He is yours. And you are His. And you can stand on that foundation every day of the week. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you have done, as you come to God through Christ at the cross, you are founded solidly on the fact that you are His and you go by His name, Christian, because Christ died for you. So never forget, call to mind regularly, remember each day of the year up ahead of what you were through Christ, what you are and whose you are. You are no random creature. You are held and gripped in the hand of God for eternity as you trust in Christ, for God has brought you near. Never forget that. Remember it, and remember it.
We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 19, and it's on your sheet that you received on the way in. And if you're at home, please turn and follow me. Luke 19, 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
Zacchaeus, like all of us, Zacchaeus is a man with problems. I'm not going to get you to share your problems with the person next to you, but feel free if you'd like to, that's fine. There's always dramas. Zacchaeus had three dramas going on for him. Number one, no one could ever work out whether his name had two C's or two H's or one C and one H or one of each or... I don't know. Anyway, a difficult name. Problem number two is a tax collector. Hand up if you work for the tax department. Oh, yes, there's someone over. Oh, yes, actually, Ewan, we'll pray for you. Certainly, working for the tax department has a little bit more kudos attached to it these days. Only a little. But in those days, working for the tax department was very much not something you wanted to do. Indeed, those who worked for the tax department were seen basically as robbing their fellow countrymen. So that's his second problem. His third problem is that he was the exact opposite of Elliot. He is short, very short, and couldn't see over a crowd. If there's things going on around him, he wasn't able to see anything that was going on. And on this one particular day, as Zacchaeus was going about his business, no doubt trying to find someone to fleece and take more money from, Jesus is coming through the town, and people are lined up, they're lined down the streets, wanting to see Jesus. Perhaps if some of you went into town last night to see the fireworks and you're lined up at the Opera House or on the Carl Expressway or in any one of the 4 billion parks that you could go to that were all full because people were like, we can go out on New Year's Eve! And so everything was full last night. So Zacchaeus is there. Jericho is just full of people. He couldn't see anything. So, resourceful. This is completely safe, by the way. I proved it with the wardens. So it's fine. He climbed a tree. All right, here we go. Hand up if you're feeling nervous. My wife didn't put her hand up, so we're okay. All right. So Zacchaeus climbed a tree. And I think the climbing of the tree, it's a fact, but I think it's a little bit symbolic. It's a little bit symbolic for all of us. Because we love to exalt ourselves. We love to place ourselves up the top. We love to think of ourselves as those who are worthy of adulation from others, the praise of others, the worship even of others. And certainly someone like Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, no doubt thought of himself just like that. But, well, he is just a short sinner. He's just a short sinner like all of you, except Elliot, who's a tall sinner. But he's just like all of us. He's just a man who's seeking himself and not God. And in that sense, this passage actually calls the very last word, if everyone looks at the very last word in the whole text, it describes Zacchaeus lost. When you are putting yourself up the top and thinking you're the best and you're in charge and you decide, you do what you want, that's what God says, actually you're lost. You're not doing life right in the world. And when Jesus walked along, he saw a man up in a tree, sinner, lost, doing his own thing. And he says to Zacchaeus there in verse 5, Jesus looks up and says to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house tonight. Isn't that incredible? One of the greatest of sinners, Jesus calls into his presence. One of the greatest of sinners, Jesus says, no, I'm interacting with you. Now, I don't know how you see yourself, a greatest of sinners or in some other way, but be assured God wants even to do business with you. If he wants to do business with Zacchaeus, he's keen to do business with whoever you are in the room today. And Zacchaeus did exactly what you should do when confronted with the goodness of God and the call of God upon your life. What does it say? Verse 6, he came down at once and welcomed the Lord. Gladly. I'll put that there. Our friends, the new year opens up for each of us. Microphone. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you. Friends, the new year opens up for each of us the opportunity for a fresh encounter with Jesus. It opens up for each one of us the opportunity to come down to actually bring ourselves out of the clouds, to humble ourselves, to bring ourselves before the Lord, to remember what he has done for us, to bring ourselves down and to listen to him. You look at Zacchaeus and he eagerly repented. Look what he says there. Zacchaeus stood up and said, "Look, Lord," verse 8, "here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." His encounter with Jesus, as he met Jesus, he had a wholesale restart of his life. He restarted in a new direction. Now, your life may not need a wholesale restart. I wonder if today, actually, there might be people here whose lives do need a wholesale restart. That you, as we've reflected and remembered this morning, you've sort of just gone, "Actually, I'm not sure that I've walked with Jesus in 2022 at all." If that's you, your life needs a wholesale restart. But for many of us, there'll be aspects of our life that need a restart. That we need to rethink what we're doing. Perhaps it's the way you speak. Perhaps it's the way you love your family. Or don't. Perhaps it's the way you work. Are you working for the Lord or for your own endeavours? Perhaps it's the way you even engage with Jesus. I had someone say to me last week, "How many low-so Christians are there in your church?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "How many listen on Sunday only Christians? Who willingly open the Bible when we're all sitting here, but strangely, these are the only seats that you ever open the Bible in. Listen to God here, but not elsewhere." Friends, here's a moment for you to actually consider restarting who you are in Christ. Here's a moment for you to consider restarting an aspect of your Christian life, perhaps the whole thing. You'll know the ways that you need to change in 2023. This is not about resolutions. This is about reflecting on where we've come from, remembering who we are, and actually just getting up and walking with the Lord as we're called to. You'll know the things that need to be restarted. You'll know the courses that need correction in your life. And if you're not sure the things that need to be restarted or the courses that need correcting in your life, then turn to someone who loves you and say to them, "What are the things that need to be corrected in my life?" And let me assure you, they'll have a list of about 9. And they'll be able to help you. Once you have those things in mind, then it's time to hit restart. Perhaps it's as simple as just engaging with God, regularly listening to Christ in the scriptures each day, make a plan, ask for some help if you need it, make it happen and restart on that today. Perhaps it is rejuvenating your prayer life. Make a plan, ask for help if you need it, make it happen and restart that today. Perhaps it's some element of godliness that you know that you've just sort of gone, "I really hope God doesn't watch me while I'm dealing with my children, but I just have to do this. I really hope that God doesn't watch me when I'm driving in my car, but I'm just going to do this." Perhaps there's some element of godliness in your life that you need to actually make a plan, ask for help if you need it, make it happen and restart today. I want you to spend just a moment quietly yourself, just considering what you might need to restart to keep your relationship with Jesus moving forward with momentum in 2023. Just 30 seconds for you to reflect and perhaps pray yourself. I'll tell you that for me, as I have had the opportunity to know what we were doing today and reflect on this a little bit myself already, it's actually prayerfulness. And I think in the busyness of the last few months, that my prayers went from commonplace to unplaced. And just not prayerful enough. And it's time for me to come back to a more prayerful mode of existence, to slow down and come before the Lord with all my joys and anxieties and praises and requests many times each day. And the new year is the perfect moment for you to have your Zacchaeus moment, to drink deep of the richness of God's grace, to hit restart, and to work hard at leaning into Jesus each day. Don't be a listen on Sunday only Christian. Walk with the Lord each day, opening his word, speaking with him, pursuing his ways, living as a daily Christian, having a daily encounter with Jesus through his word and walking with him in all aspects of your life. What will it look like for you to be giving Jesus first place and highest place in 2023? In the busyness of life, it can be easy to forget that Jesus does dwell with us even now by his Spirit, and that we should be working daily to keep in step with the Spirit, loving the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, recognizing, as the last verse in that passage says, that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And you know what? Some of those who get found get a little bit lost again sometimes. And if you found yourself a little bit lost again, come back to the Lord. Make a restart and walk with him. What is it you are going to hit restart on in 2023? Well, friends, if you turn to the last page, let's pray this prayer together before we then sing our last song. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great love for us and the many ways you have blessed our lives. Thank you that your favour has no end. Thank you that it lasts for a lifetime. Forgive us for sometimes forgetting that you know all our ways, that you know what concerns us, and you continually protect us for eternity. We ask that we would walk in your blessing and goodness today, that your face would shine on us, that you would open the right doors for our lives and for our loved ones, that you would close the wrong doors and protect us from those we need to walk away from. Establish the work of our hands and bring to fulfillment all that you have given us to do in these days. We pray that you would make our way purposeful and our footsteps firm out of your goodness and love. Give us joy in you rather than our circumstances, and the strength to carry on when circumstances bring grief and sadness. Give us courage to pray big prayers, to listen daily to your word, and make us strong by your huge favour and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And a little challenge for each of you is to write a prayer of your own for the new year, and perhaps you can do that at home.